Romans 12, I want you to look at verse number 9 through verse number 16. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, beginning, and we will read through verse 16. Before we do that, would you join me in welcoming our radio broadcast audience that is listening by way of radio today? Praise the Lord. God bless you. We welcome you. If you're in search of a good church home, we're at the McIntosh Elementary School, 185 Richneck Road, in the city of Newport News, Virginia. Simply call our Administrative Services Center at 757-890-8988. We'll be glad to serve you and give you any information that you need about our ministry and our services. Romans 12, verse number 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another." And we'll stop right there. We are continuing in our core value series, Integrity. And I'm going to minister to you this morning from the subject, Achieving Excellence and Integrity in Relationships, Part 1. Amen. From our Integrity series, from the subject, Achieving Excellence and Integrity in Relationships, Part Number 1. Father, in the name of the Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. I bow in your presence, O God, and ask that if there be any sin or iniquity that I have done or said, that you would cleanse me, that I may be a vessel of honor. I yield myself that I may be used of you for your glory. Let the word of the Lord penetrate the ears of your hearers and into their spirit. We give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you're taking notes. I want you to put this in your notes, that there are four basic types of relationships. Number one, your relationship with God. Number two, your relationship with your spouse, i.e. your husband or wife, or your destiny partner if you are in covenant to be married. That's a relationship. Number three, your relationship with your children. And number four, your relationship with others, i.e. your brothers and sisters in the Lord, your family, your immediate family, your relatives, people on your job, people in your community, maybe your local grocery store or the bank teller that you see once a week or twice a week when you cash your check. But these are the four basic types of relationship. And my desire this morning is that I'm going to deal primarily with achieving excellence and integrity in your relationship with others. And I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to share some principles on achieving excellence and integrity in your relationship, perhaps husband and wife or destiny partners. So I'll be ministering exclusively to the married and the soon-to-be married, praise the Lord, and the single person, how you conduct yourself in a relationship that, number one, exemplifies excellence, and number two, represents integrity. Then just to throw this out, in the month of November, which is our family ministry month, my wife and I will be ministering together, and we're going to share some principles on spouses and singles and so on and so forth. And we'll minister those messages together on Sunday mornings. But I'm just going to give you some basic things next week that we'll be able to share, where you will be able to have that level of excellence as a spouse, husband and wife, what should the spouse do, what should the husband do, et cetera, et cetera. That'll be part two. Hopefully I can finish all that in one message. If not, we'll just come back and finish it the following week. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, amen. I want you to write this down if you're putting, taking notes. God's desire is that you walk in excellence and integrity in all four of those relationships. He gets no glory when you choose not to walk in excellence and integrity with the people that you interact with on a daily and consistent basis. The reality or the truth of the matter is that you can achieve and walk in a level of excellence and integrity all of the time if your mind is made up to do so. So don't let the devil trick you, because when people start hearing these kind of messages and when they start seeing the level of integrity that a ministry walks in or a man of God walks in, they'll start saying things like, well, you can't live like that all the time. Hello. They'll say, you can't always do that. Your pastor trying to make you be perfect. It ain't nobody perfect. That's not the intent. And the reality of that is most people that say that is they use that as a cloak and an excuse as to cover up their lack of walking of in excellence and integrity. You can walk in excellence and integrity all the time if your mind is made up to do so. Amen. Amen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of things this morning, and I want to start in verse number 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. So the first thing, if you're going to achieve excellence and integrity in relationships, you must have genuine love. If you're going to achieve excellence and integrity, you must display genuine love towards others. You must love people regardless of their faults, shortcomings, attitudes, and issues. Unfortunately, genuine love normally cannot be expressed until you've been hurt by somebody that you've shown genuine love to. You must learn to forgive, move on, and not focus on the negativity that the devil will throw in your face that is intended to get you off course. See, when somebody have hurt you, that is the opportunity for you to really show genuine love. Because you really can't show genuine love to a person unless you've been hurt by them seriously in a relationship. You got to stay focused and just love people the same way that you did before they hurt you. Lied on you, wronged you, or falsely accused you. Your genuine love for others is proven when you treat people the right way, regardless of how they have treated you. You see, most of the times in relationships, beloved, people base their treatment on how they're treated. And that's not excellence, or that's not integrity. I don't love you because you love me back, bruh. I love you because it's the right thing to do. And I'm just using you as an example. But if you were to hurt me, then I still have a responsibility to show genuine love to you, because that's who I am, and that displays excellence and integrity in the level of relationship that I choose to walk in. Am I doing all right? You don't love your husband, sister, based upon him treating you right. You love him because it's the right thing to do. And so a lot of couples, when you deal with relationships and when you deal with marriages and things of that nature, they base their love based upon how they've been treated. And I know that it seems like that's the thing to do, because as humans, that's what we normally would do. You know, you love me right, you treat me right, then you get the same thing from me. But that's not the desire of God. The desire of God is that you love a person regardless of what they say and what they do, because it's the right thing to do. Am I doing all right? Amen. Now, number two, in verse number 9 says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You must always make a clear distinction between good and evil. It is often the preferred method to do evil for evil versus doing good to overcome evil. Even in the church, you'll find people that will do evil for evil. You do evil to me, so I do evil back to you. It's the preferred method. You hurt me, you said so-and-so about me, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing back to you. But that's not excellence. That's not integrity. I know I won't get a lot of amens this morning, but that's okay. When you cleave and hold on to those things that are good, you leave no room for the devil to get the victory in your life. Though people may say bad things about you, deep down on the inside, I believe that they know that they're in the wrong. Because you always did what was right by them before the relationship was severed. And so you'll find people in the body of Christ that will do wrong to you, and they will go around and lie on you, hello, falsely accuse you, say you did this, say you did that, but deep down on the inside, they know that they're wrong. I believe that. Because they know that throughout the relationship, you exercise integrity and excellence at every level. And so what happens to people like that, you may never see it, but they have what's called guilt on the inside of them. I know I'm preaching good, better than y'all saying amen right now. And so people will have guilt on the inside of them, and they may never express that guilt to you. And it's not your responsibility as a Christian to pull that guilt out of them. Hello. It is your responsibility as a Christian to make that distinction between good and evil and show genuine love. Because if you just show love because of the relationship being good, then that's not real love. Some people base relationships based upon the environment. As long as you're in the environment I'm in, as long as you're doing what I'm doing, saying what I'm saying, then we have a relationship. Oh, God. Here you go again, Pastor. But no sooner you step out of that environment, beloved, and you find yourself going elsewhere, and you're not in sin. Listen to me closely. You ain't, you know, you ain't had sex out of marriage. You ain't cussed nobody out. You just feel the leading of the Lord to go a different direction. But they say, well, now we can't have a relationship. What's up with that? So obviously you're telling me that our relationship was based upon the environment that we're in. Because if I genuinely love you, then I love you whether you're with me or whether you're not. Amen. Am I doing all right? So you have to make a distinction between good and evil. Number two and number three. The Bible says in verse number 10, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. So number three is work at being liked. Say that with me. I need to work at being liked. Say it again. Say, I need to work at being liked. Amen. My father used to have a saying before he passed away. He used to tell me all the time, son, you draw more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And he says, son, he always would give me good advice. And he'd say, son, he said, work at being liked. Because if you are trying to attract bees in a relationship, which means you're trying to get people in your life, you're trying to have people around you, you're trying to be a likable person, you'll draw more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And see, a lot of people in the body of Christ, they're good at putting out vinegar. Vinegar is the bad stuff and the negative stuff and the things that people really don't like. And so they base the relationship on finding faults. Am I doing all right? Amen. How many of y'all ever been in a relationship where it was based upon finding your list of faults? Well, last year you did so-and-so, and 10 years ago you did A, B, C, and D. Y'all looking at me kind of strange, you know? And, you know, you ain't made no money, or you ain't did this, or you ain't. So they based, you know, they got this long list of faults, and that's vinegar. Why would you want to spend time with me if all I can point out in your life is your negatives? We don't really have a relationship. Because you knew your negatives before we got together. Hello. You knew you didn't do the right thing, say the right thing, go the right places. You knew that you had failures in your life that were evident. And if I capitalize on your failures, hello, then you really don't want to be around me because I'm not bringing out the best in you. Amen. Y'all ought to give God a hand clap of praise for that. I told you I'd probably preach better than y'all say amen this morning. You have to practice being kindly affectionate towards others with brotherly love. You sow seeds toward the harvest that you will reap with others. So if you don't work at being liked, you are sowing seeds and you're getting a harvest back from people based upon the seeds you sow. So if you look at your life right now, and if you're not the type of person where people want to be around you, that's because of the seeds that you've sown out. Hello. Because the Bible say if you want to have friends, then you need to show yourself friendly. People be lying when they be saying, well, I ain't got no friends. Don't want to. No, you haven't shown yourself friendly. That's why you don't have no friends. I got plenty of friends. I got friends in the church. I got friends in the marketplace. I have professional friends. I have relatives that are friends. I got neighbors that are friends. Why? Because I show myself friendly. I got pastors that are friends. I got other people that I know in the community that are friends because I work at showing myself friendly and I work at being liked. When you work at being liked, you will always try to treat others the way that you would want to be treated and focus on honoring and preferring others over yourself. That's called humbleness. When you don't do that, you'll find that people will often shy away from you instead of wanting to be close to you. And so you have to look at your life right now and you have to look at your relationships and you have to pull out the mirror and say, okay, let me give a real self-assessment here. Do people in my life, are there a plethora of people, if you will, that want to be around me? Amen. Hello, because if you can't, you know, if you're going through something and, you know, you ain't got a whole lot of people to pick up the phone and talk to, something wrong with the seed you're sowing.
Amen. You're right.
And don't let the devil lie to you and say, nobody cares about me. And nobody is concerned with what I'm going through and I can't. The devil is a liar. It's tens of thousands of people that are concerned with what you're going through. The reality of that is that you sowed seeds that brought you a harvest that now people don't want to be around you.
Amen.
Hello. And so you have to be careful. I always say you have to consider yourself. You have to consider yourself, beloved. You have to say, how would I feel in this situation? How would I want to be treated? And then you have to make sure that you do how you would want to be treated. That's the Bible. The Bible said, do unto others as you would want done unto you. Oh, Lord. So if you're in your day of calamity, would you want people to have mercy on you? By all means. So if you want to receive that harvest the next time somebody's in a day of calamity, show mercy instead of pointing out all their faults.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Number four, I'm going to stay here for a little bit. The Bible said, this is a very powerful scripture, not slothful in business, not slothful in business. So number four, if you want to achieve excellence and integrity in relationship, you want to maintain a good business ethic. What do you mean by that, Pastor? How you handle or conduct your business will often determine your ability to relate well to others when it comes to business. Y'all quiet now. Okay. This is why it's important that you strive to maintain a high level of professionalism when it comes to conducting business or handling business matters. So let me share five things that are common with people that have a good business ethic. If you are conducting business with anybody that has a good business ethic, they'll probably be operating in these five things. Amen? Y'all ready? Number one is strive to attempt or keep all of your important paperwork in order that involves others. Hello. Let me give you an example. You're buying a house, talking about achieving excellence and integrity in relationship. You have to come into a relationship with a banker or a mortgage broker. Hello. You have to come into a relationship with a homeowner that wants to sell the home, and you have to come into relationship with the realtor that's either going to buy the home for you or going to negotiate the purchase price that you want to buy the house for. Hello. And so you're going down 123 Main Street, and you see a house with four bedrooms and two baths and a two-car garage and a white picket fence. And you sit out there and you envision baking apple pies and setting it in the windows and letting the Cheerises, Ray Ray and Pookie and Nisha and all them and Albert, and you let them play in the backyard and swing on the swing set, and you want to buy the house. And so you enter into relationship with somebody where it requires paperwork. And so he said, well, come by the office, bring me, and this is just normal stuff, bring me your W-2s, bring me all of your bills, bring me your tax records from the last 2 or 3 years, normally it's 3 years, minimum of two, bring all these things to me into the office, and you just throw them all in your briefcase, and then you roll up in the person's office, and you pull them out, and you're struggling trying to find everything. So you want to make sure that you keep your paperwork in order, because that shows professionalism. One thing pastor's big on is professionalism and excellence. When we move into a building, we won't have a whole lot of junk piled up in a corner. We won't have a lot of junk hidden behind the pulpit and stuff like that, you know, because that's not excellence. Hello. Y'all are mighty quiet in here. That's not professionalism. And so we're consistently having a presentation that we want other people to see. I'm ahead of myself, but I'll go back to that. So number two is attempt to pay your bills on time. Oh, Pastor, I know I wasn't going to get many amens there. And I can say that because I've been there. I know what it's like to struggle and not pay your bills on time. Hello. I figured I'd be preaching better than y'all would say amen. Because your credit history shows your ability to be trusted. And if you have a credit history that is shot, it shows that we cannot entrust you with finances to do what you need to do. I'm talking about maintaining a good business ethic. Because nowadays, you need credit to do a lot of things, unless you have a large sum of monies at your disposal, you go buy a car, you need to have a good credit history or a decent credit history so you can get a decent rate. Am I right about that? You can get a good car. You don't get a car where you end up paying too much for it, and then you get what's called negative equity because you can't trade it because you owe more than what the value of the vehicle is. Am I doing all right? I've been there, church. I have been there. I did not have a good business ethic in every area of my life. But as God is blessing and God is bringing us into a new level, new financial arena, there's things you got to change. Amen. Hello. Am I doing all right? All right. Number three is respect time and honor commitments that you're involved in that involves others. Be on time. Oh, Pastor, back up and start right there again. Be on time. Oh, Pastor, back up and say that one more time. Be on time, start on time, finish on time, or complete the task in the time frame requested. Because the way you respect time determines how you respect others. If I started these services at 11:30, it shows me that I don't respect your time. Or I show you that I don't respect your time. Amen. If I invite you to dinner at 5, but we don't start till 5:45, it shows that I don't respect time. If you're going to have a good business ethic, you need to respect time. You need to be on time. You need to start on time. That's why pastors big on those type of things. I don't care if 5 people sitting out in the pew. We need to start on time because it shows professionalism and it shows excellence and it shows that we respect time and we manage time. If you have a good business ethic, you know how to manage time. How many of y'all remember when you were in grade school and they used to give you your report card, and one of the areas that they would have on there is makes good use of time? You remember that thing, and the teacher would check it every quarter? Well, she always checked mine. She said, well, you don't make good use of your time. Well, in those days, you really didn't know how to manage your time. If I give somebody an hour and there's three or four things that you need to do, then you need to manage time. And you need to get it done in a respectable and in an appropriate time frame. Amen. Number four, always strive to give a good presentation when what you're doing involves others. Call if you're running late. Hello. It shows that you don't respect a person if he say, be to my office at 5, and it's 5:10, and you haven't called and said, hey, I'm running late, I'm stuck in traffic, I didn't leave my office on time, whatever the case might be. It shows that you don't respect that person. And I'm raising up believers in this church that are as effective in the church as effective as they are in the marketplace. I said, I'm raising up believers in this church that are effective in the church as effective as they are in the marketplace.
Amen.
Because you got to take this Jesus, beloved, and you got to be able to encourage or influence the sinner. Because the sinner have always laughed at the body of Christ. Man, you spend all that time on Sunday morning in the church, giving that church your money, yada, yada, yada. But see, they don't see a good presentation from the body of Christ. That's why they snicker and laugh. And so this is the hour where God will raise up believers in the body of Christ that operate and function as well in the marketplace as they do in the church. Fix your equipment if it's broken. Because that's a poor presentation. I remember before we got these drums, we had another set that was given to us, and I rolled out here on a Wednesday night, and one of the toms was off, and the one of the legs was missing on the bass drum, and I got hot, man. I said, don't even set that stuff up. Could that give a poor presentation? That's ghetto. Because, you know, you got to keep putting a chair up here to hold the drum in place. You know, somebody got to hold the tom because we don't even want that type of presentation. When people roll in here, they need to see a house of excellence. And so we strive to push out excellence every time that we come in here, whether we got 10 people, 15 people, or 100 people. We push out excellence at every stage and at every level. We looked at these cords. My adjutant will tell you, we looked at the way these cords were laying on the floor and what kind of presentation that was given. I said, that's poor. I said, let's get these cords. I mean, and some people may think, well, man, your pastor is too detailed. He's meticulous. Well, yes, I am. I know that frustrates some of my staff, but that's the way I am. Because we want to be sure that we are producing excellence and we have a good presentation every single time. That's what excellence is. It's every time you roll in here, every time you see something, you see the spirit of excellence in operation.
Amen.
Number five, and I've kind of already covered this, but remember that you only get one chance to make a good impression. And so if you're dealing with business in a relationship, if you don't know what to do, just don't roll in there and make a fool out of yourself. Ask somebody with knowledge to go over the presentation with you. Well, the man told me to come down here. He said he's going to look at my credit. He said he's going to let me know if I qualify to get in this home or not. If you don't know what you're doing, don't be ignorant and roll in there and see the man and you don't have your stuff together. Talk to somebody that is mature enough to help you to get a good presentation. Buy you a 10-cent manila folder. Hello. Put your notes or whatever you need in there to give you that professional presentation so that you at least halfway look like you know what you're doing. Hallelujah. You may not know what to say or know what to do, but you look like it. And it gives a good presentation and a good business ethic. Number five, verse number 11 through 13. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So number five is you want to model what you want others to become. You want to achieve excellence and integrity, you need to model what you want others to become. I'm sorry. No, this is number five on my actual notes. I'm right. There was number five. There were five under number four. This is number five on. Y'all all right? All right. I'm, thank you, but I'm tracking. When you have excitement about your church, your ministry, and your service to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will cause others to want to be a part of what you're involved in. You must always model what you want others to become when it comes to the kingdom. It is the most effective way of achieving excellence and integrity in relationship. This is where a lot of leaders in churches fail, because they strive at getting you to get what they want versus becoming what they want you to become. I heard Dr. What is his name? I heard, I see his face right now, guy in New York. I can't think of his name. It'll come to me in a second. Yes, A.R. Bernard. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he shared how in leadership you want to model what you want others to become. And one of his success strategies was, instead of him pointing out the wrongs and the faults in his people, he simply modeled what they wanted them to become. And that's normally the best way of achieving excellence and integrity and success in ministry. If I want you to become a faithful tither, then I need to be a faithful tither. I model that. Praise the Lord. I want you to have a good relationship with your spouse, so I model that with mine. Praise the Lord. I want you to have peace, and I want you to have good romance, and I want you guys to be able to have a relationship that's fulfilling and wholesome, and so I have to model that. I model what I want you to become. I model excellence in the church. And so when you stand up, you know what kind of example you have to follow. Are you with me? So when you do that, amen, you must always be the first partaker of what you want others to become or what you ask others to do. You must show others that you are fervent in your service to the Lord, that your prayer life is focused on praying for the needs of others above your own, and that you consistently are lifting up the needs of others instead of yours all the time. Verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. You see, we've kind of twist this when it comes to being blessed. Most people want to be blessed. Brooke, could you bless me with $15? Could you bless me with $100 so I can go pay my light bill or my car insurance? But we don't focus on being a blessing. Y'all understand the difference. Most people in the body of Christ always want to be blessed. They had their hands out. They need something. They want something. They want to be blessed by somebody else versus focusing on God, raise me up to be a blessing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let me be on the other side of that thing where I can be in a position to be a blessing to somebody else. Does not mean that you solve everybody's problems. Are you listening to me closely? Because a lot of times people think that if I give you $20 to get your gas money, I'm solving your problem. I'm not solving your problem, because what you're going to do next week? Ask for 20 more dollars. That's what the minister said. So that's not solving the problem. So it's not always giving a piece of money that helps a person. Sometimes you need wisdom over money, because if I give you wisdom, then you won't need to keep asking me for money. Amen. Y'all heard the saying that how is it? What is it, Daniel, about fishing? You show a man how to fish in one day. What is that? Yeah, you give him a fish, he'll eat one day. You teach him how to fish, he'll eat the rest of his life. So I could give you a fish that will suffice for one day, or I can teach you how to do what I do that will suffice for a lifetime. Which would you prefer? Hallelujah. Finally, number six is found in verse number 15 and 16. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. You have to have a genuine interest in the well-being of others. You want to achieve excellence and integrity in relationships. People want to know that you're on their side or genuinely concerned about their well-being. That's what ministry is all about, church. It's about helping to meet the needs of others. That's part of our mission statement. Meeting needs, impacting lives, and empowering the next generation. This is why successful ministries are based upon people. This is a people business. Hello. It's a business where hurting people come to be healed. It's a place where broken people come to be made whole. That's why it never was and it'll never be about you. You don't have to be the one that's always in the spotlight. We have to learn to celebrate other people's victories and mourn at other people's losses. The enemy does not want this, so he strives to keep division in the church through cliques, groups, pastors' favorites, and superstars. Thank God I don't have any cliques. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have any groups. Amen. I don't have no superstars, and I don't have no favorites. I love everybody just the same. I love this brother just like I love you. I love this sister just like I love you. I love that brother just like I... There is no partiality. Because if I prefer one above the other, then that means I show favoritism. And if I show favoritism, that means if so-and-so does a little something-something, then because I show favoritism, I can turn my back. No, baby, everybody gets the same thing. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're my relative, if you're my nephew, if you're my cousin, if you're my uncle, same thing. Because you got to learn how we walk together in love and everybody's on the same playing field. Some churches you have cliques. If you talk like the pastor, if you act like the pastor, if you think like him, then you're in the clique. And you get the preferred meat. Hello. Y'all know what the preferred meat is, right? The preferred meat is the meat that they put out when the guests arrive. That's the preferred meat. That's the chops. That's the T-bone steaks, all that good stuff. The rest of the folk get hamburger and hot dog because they're not in the clique. And see, that's not right. Because what you're doing is you're breeding a group of people that are connected to you, and they what you sow into them is the same thing. If I love you based upon how much money you give, then that ain't right. Because if you're not in a position to give, that don't mean you're any less important than him. Hello. You put $100 in the plate, you put six. Same thing as far as I'm concerned, because God is looking at your ability to give. So I can't prefer you. Well, Lord, she gave $100, so I'm going to prefer this. You can't do that because you're showing partiality and you're building cliques in the church. Oh, Lord, Pastor, where did that come from? This is what the enemy wants because he can develop what's known as division in the church. And it's God's desire for everyone, as the scripture says, to be of the same mind toward one another. When we've mastered this, just like First Lady was saying this morning, we will achieve a level of unity in the body of Christ where everyone is important across the board. So in my conclusion, I want to know, how do I master this and make sure that I have the same mind toward everyone else? That's what the scripture says in verse 16, right? It said, be of the same mind one toward another. And so all of us have to ask this question this morning. Do I have the same mind toward my brother? Do you have the same mind towards First Lady? Do I have the same mind towards you? Do you have the same mind towards this sister? Y'all follow what I'm saying? We have to have the same mind. So how do I do that? Three things. Number one, recognize that your brother or sister in the church is not your enemy. Oh, Pastor, thank God we don't have a church like that because we don't believe in, you know, cliques and things of that nature. And so you don't have to worry about, to the best of my knowledge, the person that's sitting next to you, whether or not they're in your corner or not. Because that's not the type of spirit that we breed from the pulpit. That's why we have one of those prayer requests that we're cautious not to breed that. So you can feel comfortable sitting in church. Hello. Knowing that the person sitting next to you is not trying to plot in your life. That happens in churches. Number two, you need to focus on putting the needs of others above your own. Consider yourself. What if that was me? What would I do in this situation? I shared with a brother, we heard some tragic news about somebody who had lost a loved one. And I said, the first thing I need to do is I need to show mercy because I would want somebody to show mercy to me. That had nothing to do with whether or not we have a good relationship. But the reality is showing mercy because it's the right thing to do. And so you have to look at your brother and your sister in the church. Am I doing all right? And you have to consider, man, what if that was me? You know, what if this happened to me? That is building unity. You can't look at your brother and sister and turn up your nose and say, well, that's what she deserves. She should have never got with that joker. That ain't mercy. And that's not the spirit of Christ. And that does not build unity. You've got to consider your own self. Am I doing all right? Amen. We're trying to be of one mind toward one another. I'm almost finished. And number three, you have to consistently avail yourself to be used of the Lord. You see, the Lord wants you to be used and be in a position where you're available to be used by Him. It may be by a simple prayer. Hello. A kind word or gesture. See, sometimes we look at the big picture and we think that because I'm not in the pulpit, because I'm not singing, because I'm not a musician, because I'm not working the sound, I'm not a prayer partner or an intercessor, that my role is not significant. That's a lie. It's just as significant for you to breathe a word of prayer with somebody sitting next to you that's sitting on your seat as significant as it is for the minister elect to lead prayer in the morning and on Wednesday afternoon. Y'all follow me? Your role standing at the door greeting visitors is just as significant as me preaching every Sunday. Because there's no difference in the body of Christ. And that's how we got to look at one mind. Now, with each position comes different responsibilities. I got a whole lot more responsibilities than you do standing at that door. But that doesn't mean that this position is preferred over the other one. Am I doing all right? Whatever it is, here I am, Lord. If you can use anyone, use me. Achieving excellence and integrity in relationships, part one. I'm going to come back next week and share some insight on how we can do this in whole relationships, marriages, and in covenant relationships with destiny partners, singles, so on and so forth. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning as we just prepare to invite those of you that do not know the Lord and Savior to give you an opportunity to come and accept Him today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you never want to give or have an assumption that somebody listening under the sound of your voice does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you're in here today, I would ask that you would raise your hand very quickly and meet us down at this altar that we can receive you as our person, that you can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Will there be one? Maybe there's one that say, you know, Pastor, I have a desire to be used by the Lord supernaturally. I don't know what my gifting is. I don't know what my calling is. But I do desire to be used. Just like the song is singing in the background. You can use me. I want to be available to the work of the kingdom. I want my resources to be unlocked so that I can sow into ministry works. I want my schedule to change so that I can be available for the work of the ministry because I desire to be used by God. Amen. One thing about this pastor that stands before you is I appreciate new converts, but one thing is I don't like you sitting too long. Some people don't agree with that philosophy, but I believe that God has given everybody a purpose. God has given everybody a task and an assignment to do in the body of Christ. And so when you're just sitting on the pew, now you got to have people in the pew to preach to, but that doesn't mean you can't get involved. This church will always have opportunities for people to be involved in ministry at any level. Doesn't mean that you'll be preaching behind the pulpit, beating a drum, or doing a praise dance, but you may be just in the bread pantry filling up baskets for needy people. Am I in here today? That's just as important as what I do. You may just be standing at the door shaking people's hands when they come in and welcoming them into the work of the ministry. That's just as important as what we do. You may just be, like my daughter did today, on the screen putting those transparencies up so the people can sing the songs. Don't think that the position, because it's not big and glorious, is not major in the eyesight of God. Because your task is just as important as ours, and that's what builds unity, church. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. This church will be a church of unity. This will be a church where everybody is important. Not based upon who's got gator skins and tailor-made suits. Even though your pastor liked to roll like that. But it's not based upon that. If you got a seersucker on you, just as important as anybody else. Hello. That's why I tell people all the time, when their first question is, well, what do you got to wear? I don't care what you wear. You want to roll up in here in jeans and a t-shirt? That's how you flow? That's fine with me. Just get in here and get the word. You want to roll in here with a skirt on one day and slacks on the other, ladies? That's fine. That's how you roll. Hallelujah. I'm not caught up in that. I'm caught up with your spirit getting right and you being available to be used by God at whatever He's called you to do. That's why you're important, bruh. This man of God came and got saved the first day. And we gave him a job, didn't we? You say you need to stay close to Pastor. Hallelujah. So we gave him a job. This woman of God came to us. She wanted to be used by God. That was her desire, to be used by God. So we gave her a job. This man of God felt a call to preach the gospel, knew it was in him for years, so we gave him a job. Be used by God. Avail yourself to the kingdom. You feel the call to evangelism. I got a job for you, bro. All you got to do is avail yourself to the kingdom. You got a job. You know you have a job. You got a real important job. Hallelujah. Thank God for the CFA. Hallelujah. Thank God for the CFA. Bless the Lord. But we will always create a position for people to be availed to the work of the kingdom. Because some people, they will get closer to God and discover their purpose by accident, by sitting in that pew. Sitting in that pew, all you're doing is listening to me preach week after week. And that's doing you good. But if you can discover your purpose by sweeping the floor, polishing a drum set, bagging some groceries for a needy family, that's what I'm about and that's what I want. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your word that's strong and mighty in this house. We decree and declare that next generation will be a church where people will be used mightily of the Lord, whether it's in singing, whether it's in audio, whether it's in security, whether it's in the finance department, whether it's in the music department, whatever capacity, Father, they will have space to be used by you. We give you praise for these things now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look on every heart here and every mind and every need, Father. Meet it according to your will and according to your glory. Your people set their hands to the plow. We praise you for it and we honor you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you praise. Let the angels that stand in your presence be dispatched now. God, to get your people back to their destination safely and bring them all back at the appointed time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we give you praise. Amen. Come on and put those hands together. We release you in the presence of the Lord this morning. We'll see you back here 7:15 for prayer, 7:30 praise and worship, family Bible teaching on Wednesday night.